Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, everybody. This is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw 3 long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are 2 small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Yep.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. Check out Merk Merch for your Merkel Media apparel. We have some new designs coming, but we're also restocking the shelves on things that were sold out. So go ahead, check it out, merkmerch.com, and get your swag on your body today. Also, check out merkelfilms.com. We have a new documentary, The Meadow Project, coming to that platform September 30th. So look out for that. September 30th, we're going to have The Meadow Project exclusively available on merkelfilms.com. I can't wait to share it with y'all, and I know you're going to be excited to watch it. So merkelfilms.com, get ready for the adventure. All right, today we have Robbie coming on the show, and he talks about his life as a Mormon missionary and how he started encountering the supernatural through the people he's witnessing to, and how that rolled over into his everyday life when he encountered a crawler, aka the Rake. And well, Robbie thinks a little bit different about the supernatural these days than he did when he was a Mormon missionary. So let's get to Robbie right now. All right, today we have Robbie on the show. Robbie, what's going on, man?
Yeah, life is good, dude. It's early here in Arizona, but life is good.
Yeah. Every time I have somebody that schedules me for 9 o'clock in the morning, I always know there's a story, but I don't expect Arizona because that's even earlier than me. Typically, and in fact, I was driving in today thinking you were probably in Australia because usually the Australians schedule the 9 o'clock in the morning ones because it's like, it's late their time, but it's still early enough that they can be awake. And I thought, okay, he's probably in Australia, but Arizona, man, you woke up early. So it's what, 7 o'clock your time?
Yes. 6:10. So
I thought you guys were on mountain time. You're on Pacific.
Yeah.
Time.
So Arizona doesn't switch. We don't do the daylight savings. So
that's right.
We do it right.
That's right.
Honestly.
Yeah. Brother, I agree with you on that, man. Like I am so tired of that whole daylight savings time. You know why they started that, right? Well, theoretically, I know there's conspiracies about
it. Yeah, I was going to say, depending on who you ask, you might get a different
right,
story.
Exactly. apparently, it was, from what I understand, the mainstream narrative is that they were trying to give farmers more daylight to farm during the summertime. So they started playing shenanigans with the time, and they would give you extended daylight during the summertime, and then during the wintertime, you'd make up for it and you lose. And so everybody would just get depressed during wintertime because they are... it's getting dark out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and everybody's suffering from depression. So the therapist market had skyrocketed. It was great.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Makes sense.
creating industries. So listen, man, I have you on the show here, not to talk about weather, but your experiences. You were a Mormon and you were doing missions work and you encountered a lot of supernatural experiences and activity while you were doing that. And I guess, you know what, before we even get into some of that stuff, maybe lay the groundwork as to what is to be expected as a Mormon missionary when it comes to the supernatural, because I'm not a missionary, but if I went on a mission, I'd be like, yo, it's about to go down, you know,
yeah.
Like, spiritual warfare, baby. Is it something that they even acknowledge or not? But we'll get into that. And then after you left the mission, you go home and you have an experience with a crawler, which, you know, I'm always up for a good crawler story. So,
yeah.
Yeah, man, let's get into it. Let's lay that foundation first. Like, what were you expecting as a Mormon missionary as far as the supernatural goes?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm not really super active in the church anymore. But growing up, a mission is pretty much something that in the culture of the church is like expected of young men, right? And so when you turn 19, I guess it's 18 now, when you turn 18, you're expected to go serve a 2-year mission. And so you're pretty much like preparing your whole life to go serve this mission because it's all it's talked about in church and things like that. And it's like your duty or your responsibility as a young man to do so. And so they always talk about like how you're going to go out, teach people about Jesus Christ and, you know, serve a bunch of people and do all this cool like service stuff and then baptize a bunch of people and help people kind of come unto Christ, right? But they don't really talk to you about the fact that if you're going to go do all this spiritual stuff, that you may have some of the other side of the spiritual activity as well. So you kind of hear about it, but it's almost like taboo a little bit. Like people, like the mainstream leaders in the church don't really talk about it too much. When I really started hearing stories about like what had happened to other people on their missions, sometimes it was like, as I was training to be a missionary. So when you're basically a mission in the Mormon church is kind of structured. So you get you submit almost like an application to the headquarters of the church. So you fill out what are called like your mission papers. And essentially you fill out like, hey, I speak other languages, or it's almost like a job application in some ways, which is kind of interesting. But then you put just qualifications or, you know, different requests like, hey, I wouldn't mind serving out of the country or going, because you can go anywhere in the world. And so you submit these mission papers to the headquarters of the church, and basically the prophet and his apostles and some of the church leaders kind of get together, and these callings to your area wherever you're going to serve are inspired by God is the premise. And then you get your mission call back. I got called to serve in Los Angeles, California, and my assignment was specifically within like the Hispanic communities, speaking Spanish. But essentially that's...
Where were you originally from?
I was living in North Carolina at the time.
That's a big culture shift.
Yeah. So I went from East Coast to West Coast, and LA is like its own, you know, yeah, country. There's like so many different... Like part of my mission, I was serving in Koreatown. I was supposed to be speaking Spanish, and I was literally like in the middle of Koreatown. So it was crazy. But yeah, so that's kind of like the premise of how the mission works. But before you actually go out to your area, you go to a missionary training center where you learn how to teach lessons to people. If you're learning a new language, like they teach you the language there. And so you spend a few weeks to sometimes a month, a couple months in the MTC, maybe not that long, but at the minimum, like a few weeks to a month or so, in the MTC is what we call it, learning how to be a missionary essentially. And so up until that point, I had never really heard of a lot of like ghost stories per se of things that happen to people on their mission. But then you get in there with all the other missionaries and you're all learning and people would be like, oh yeah, this happened to my brother, or this happened to my uncle. And, you know, I remember somebody telling me that their friend had to exorcise somebody that was possessed on their mission. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. Like, is this stuff really, is this going to happen to me? You know? Cause that's one thing that I would say about the Mormon church is they don't really outright teach you things about like demons and possession. And like, that's not really a very popular conversation within the church. You know, I mean, you hear little things here and there about church leaders coming to like help somebody who, you know, may have like an experience of possession or something like that, but very infrequently. It's not something that's talked about very often. So I guess strictly to answer your question in that regard, it's not something that you like grow up hearing about or thinking that's going to happen to you on your mission. Even though now thinking about like, it makes sense. If you're going to go out there and be a servant of Christ and like try your best to help people come to Christ, like obviously the devil's going to push back, right? Like he's going to not want you to do that and probably throw things your way. So yeah, so that's kind of how it starts out. You know, you do all this preparation to become a missionary, send in essentially your papers or this application, then you get called to serve. Like I said, I was called to serve in Los Angeles, California, and this was back in like 2009, 2010. When I was serving out there, and the way that the things are kind of structured on your mission is you have a general like area. So my mission was the Los Angeles, California mission. And then within that mission, you get assigned to serve in different smaller areas throughout that general mission area. And you are paired up with another missionary most of the time. So that's why you always see the guys like the two elders is what they're called. They call themselves elder so-and-so. But they're always like riding their bikes or walking in pairs of two. Sometimes you can be in a trio, but you always have like a partner or a companion is what it's called. And so that's kind of how it works. And you basically just ride around in your area. You teach people lessons about Jesus Christ and God. And, ultimately you're trying to baptize people to become members of the Mormon church. Right. But you do a lot of service as well. You know, service activities, and just talking and teaching people is pretty much the whole premise of a missionary experience. I was in a area, close to downtown LA, actually. I think if you look on a map, it's like a little suburb called Arlington Heights at this time. And
I've heard of Arlington.
Yeah. Heights. So this is like right around when things were starting to happen. It was my second area on my mission. So I started off in one area and eventually transferred to this area. Usually every like 6 weeks, they'll move you to another area. Sometimes you stay in the same area for longer. So I was there, and it was just kind of crazy. You know, everything was normal. Hadn't had anything happen. Nobody was talked about anything, but, I just remember we started walking the area, knocking on doors and visiting families that we knew and families that we were teaching. And, I just remember it was super random. Like all of a sudden I just started having these people talking to me about these crazy paranormal experiences that had happened in their life. And this is not other missionaries. These are the members or families or people that we're just like serving and teaching, just like randomly. And it was like a span of just a few days to a little over a week where this just kept happening and happening. And we weren't asking people questions. We weren't suggesting anything. And I always thought that was interesting. For example, we were, the first experience that I can remember where it started was we were visiting this family who hadn't been to church in a long time. They were technically still members, I guess you could say. And so every once in a while you visit those families, just check in how they're doing, seeing how you can serve them. In the area that I was in, it was a lot of, like I said, it was closer to downtown, lower income area. And so there was a lot of families that we visited that lived in like some older rundown areas with these really old apartment buildings. And we go visit this family and it's basically this mom who's living with her, she's an older lady living with her daughter and her daughter's husband. And they have a little baby girl, who's, I don't know, maybe like a year old. And so were sitting in there just talking to them. And I was new to this area, and my companion at the time, he knew who they were. So they were chatting it up, and the son, he randomly in the middle of the conversation just asks my companion, he's like, "Hey, did I ever show you this picture on my phone, my cell phone?" And my companion's like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." And he's like, no, let me pull it up for you." And this is back in 2009. So this is not like an iPhone he's pulling out. It's literally like this teeny little flip phone that has those super sucky camera qualities, you know, like old school phones. And so he pulled out this flip phone, and he shows us this picture. And before he like actually shows the picture, he's like trying to find it. His wife starts talking. She's like, "You know, we've been feeling a lot of weird stuff in the house lately." And I'm like, "What are we talking about here?" And she's like, "Yeah, like basically in the bedroom, sometimes we'll be going to sleep. I remember waking up one night and seeing a shadow figure in the room, like this dark shadow." And at this point I'm like terrified. Cause I'm sitting in this house talking to these people. Like, I didn't think this was going to be a part of my mission. Right. It's like, nobody prepares you for this kind of stuff. Like I had heard about it a few times, you know, in the MTC or whatever, but, to have somebody now actually talking about this was getting a little scary. And I was like, "Shadow figure, what are you talking about?" You know, like, she's like, "Well," and then the husband chimed in. He's like, "Well, one time I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't move. And, I was trying really hard to move. And I look over, like I could turn my head and I looked over at my daughter in the crib, and there was a shadow figure standing over the daughter. And then the mom woke up. And I guess when she woke up and kind of saw the same thing, they woke up and the shadow figure like disappeared." And they're like telling us all this stuff that they were seeing in the house. It was just kind of crazy. He's still trying to find this picture on the phone, and she's talking about how she's like feeling things in the hallways when she's alone in the house with the baby. Just all these different things. And then he finally finds the picture on his phone and he hands the phone over to us.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.